The last one. It is week 17. And yeah, this is the final week of the season in terms of doing our picks podcast. This is Deep Balls. It's an NFL picks podcast for fieldgoals.com. I'm Danny Kelly, and I'm joined, as always, by Jackson Bevins. How are you doing, Jackson?
Doing great.
So yeah, last week of the year. It's kind of crazy how quickly this year has flown by.
Uh-huh.
It's man, it's because the season is a grind for sure for me. It's just every week goes by so quickly, but it really doesn't seem like we're already almost to the playoffs. It's flown by for me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This has been a very fast moving year. I don't know if it's just because we're older and have more responsibilities, and maybe the time just seem in between football seems to move faster as well. But yeah, I'm with you.
So, just to update, since we're in the final week, the final week is weird, of course, because a lot of teams are playing backups. A lot of teams are shutting guys down if they're not in the playoffs, or if they are in the playoffs, they may be not going full bore because their seeding is already taken care of. Although there's a lot of that going. There's a lot of uncertainty still, especially on the NFC. But right now, after last week, I went 9-6. I sit at 146.90 on the year, which is the 89th percentile. Jackson also went 9-6, and he's at 147.89, one ahead of me. And he's in the 91st percentile. Vegas right now is at 145, if you're keeping track for them. So we are a couple ahead there. I'm going to look it up here. What position are we in our group right now?
I'm 11th, tied for 11th. You're tied for 15th, and Vegas is tied for 19th.
All right. Well, so, you know, there's a I feel like that validates, if you're listening to this, that we are at least somewhat worth listening to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it wouldn't be very good if we were hanging out in the bottom half of the group.
Yeah. But, I mean, at least hopefully it just gives you something to do in terms of looking at some of the matchups. It gives you a better idea of what's going on with each game. That's kind of what we do. We just break down every game and talk about some of the variables that might be at play, talk about our gut, things like that. So anyway, anything to add before we get into it?
No, other than, I mean, the three hardest weeks of the year to pick are weeks 1, week 2, and week 17. So, you know, the last few weeks, I think you and I both felt like we had a pretty good idea of who teams are. Really difficult to say. So we could see a little wonkiness. This is the last chance to catch CW6, whose lead, very impressive lead, has shrunk to 4 games, which still seems nigh insurmountable. But there's a trio of folks right behind him at 154. So this is the last shot to knock him off his almost season-long throne.
Yeah. All right, well with that said, let's just get right into it. Obviously, there are no Thursday night games, no Saturday night games this week. It's all on Sunday. No Monday night games, of course. The first one on the docket here is the Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo is now eliminated, or they have been eliminated, I guess, for a couple weeks now. But they're out of the playoffs. The Jets, meanwhile, hold on to that 6th spot right now. They leapfrogged the Steelers last week to get there, and they're looking pretty good. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one that can go either way, and before the season I probably would have thought that this game would matter for playoff entry, but I thought it would have mattered for the other team. The Jets win, they're in, and they know that. They're playing really well. They're coming off a win over the Patriots, so you know they're feeling good. I just think that right now they're really healthy. And I was trying to think earlier this week, if there's another team in the NFL that can boast 2 wide receivers and 2 running backs, the quality of which that the Jets can, and I don't think there's a team out there that can. But Bilal Powell is running every bit as well as Chris Ivory, who's been great this year, if not better, and gives them kind of a real dangerous receiving threat out of the backfield. And then Decker and Marshall have flat out been the best 1-2 receiver combination in the NFL this year. So there's a lot of weapons there and a lot of healthy weapons. So I do see the Jets scoring a number of points on the 29th best defense. So knowing that their season's on the line, I do think they win this one. I'm kind of cheering for Pittsburgh to get in over them just because I like them better and think they're more interesting. But I do think the Jets hang on and win this one.
I saw an interesting tweet today from Chris Wessling of the NFL.com, and he pointed out that since 2012, Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant lead the NFL in touchdowns, which is 44, or receiving touchdowns at 44. Eric Decker is third behind those two at 40. And he's got to be one of the most underappreciated players in the NFL.
Everyone just assumed that Peyton Manning made him, like he was Blair White or whatever, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just because he's kind of – I don't think he does much in terms of, you know, he's not like a glitz and glam kind of guy, you know. But, I mean, it's like look at how much – if you're going to talk about, oh, it's because he's a white guy, you know, people underestimate white receivers, right?
Yeah.
I think Jordy Nelson gets a lot of fanfare, don't you?
Yeah. Well, Jordy Nelson's numbers are undeniable. I mean, like he straight up leads the NFL in receiving. So, you know, like he's the threat to lead the NFL in receiving. I think that, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, you talk about him as not being like a real flashy guy, and we're talking about someone who's married to a musical superstar and has a reality show and is like looks like an underwear model. So it's just kind of funny to think of a guy like that playing in New York and almost leading the NFL in touchdowns being crazy. Under the radar. But somehow he's managed to do that, except for with my wife.
kind of liked him.
The girls seem to like Eric Decker. She makes sure she drafts him on his team, him and Odell. Decker is super interesting, and you're right. He's been totally underrated, I think, because he's also never really been the guy. And the one year that he was the guy, he had Geno Smith as his quarterback and didn't produce a lot. So, you know, he's always had Demaryius or Brandon Marshall kind of grabbing the headlines. And I think a lot of that, too, is he's seeing the number two corner. You know, I don't know how well he would do drawing top coverage every time, but can't argue with the production.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at another stat here. Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall have caught a touchdown pass. I have each caught a touchdown pass in the same game, 8 different games this year, which is an NFL record. It broke a record set by Chris Carter and Randy Moss in 1998 back when they were on the Vikings. And so, holy shit, that is insane.
That was going to be my guess. Yeah, that's crazy. That's really amazing, especially when, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't exactly move the needle, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, he's been really good, though. To all circle it around, I like the Jets in this game, too. You know, I think right now, for a long time during the season, they were leading the NFL in red zone percentage, and I think a lot of that has to do with the Twin Tower guys, you know, just that unstoppable force that those two guys are. And plus, you know, Fitzgerald is doing a good job of feeding them. I think they're – I don't know. I'm just guessing off the top of my head right now. I think it's like third right now. They're still very, very high in red zone percentage. And that's huge, you know. So, I mean, I like the Jets in this one. I actually like the Jets a lot just in general.
This is crazy to think about, but the Jets could come out of the AFC.
That'd be crazy. Obviously the Bills have bragging rights to think about and all that. And it's in Buffalo, so that's kind of a factor. But, I mean, again, this is not a very far trek for the New York Jets. So, I think – I don't know. To me, this was an easy pick. But, weird shit happens every week. So, I guess you got to just kind of
– Yeah, last how weird was last week?
Yeah, so last week, obviously, the Patriots lost, the Panthers lost, the Seahawks lost. The Steelers lost. So those were 4 big upsets, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the Packers got their asses kicked. It was just a weird week. Not that anyone expected the Packers necessarily to win, but I didn't think anyone would have expected a 35-point blowout. But speaking of the Panthers, they lost last week, but now they are still in it in terms of they need to win to get the first seed in the NFC. They got Tampa Bay at home. Normally I would say this is an easy blowout, but Carolina's kind of had some shakiness on defense a little bit lately. You know, obviously they gave up a ton of points to the Giants. They gave up a ton of points to the Saints. They lost to the Falcons. And Tampa Bay is a divisional rival. So whenever you play, I mean, obviously look at what's happened with Seattle last week. Anytime you play a division rival, it's a little different, you know? The line is 10.5 for Carolina, so obviously Vegas sees them as a major you know, favorites here, but do you think that Tampa Bay has any shot at this?
Well, of course they got a shot for a lot of the reasons that you said that. But, I mean, you know, I think that there's some really weird Carolina Schadenfreude among Seahawks fans. I don't know if it's because we're not the top dog in the NFC anymore, or if people don't like Cam Newton dabbing, or whatever the reason, but it's like you can't talk to a Seahawks fan about the Panthers without them saying they're overrated and they'll be one and done in the playoffs. And
just because we beat them the last 3 years multiple times, I guess, maybe.
Maybe, but then they – I mean, we're talking about this year, and they beat us this year in Seattle. So, I don't know. It seems like people are really looking for reasons to get down on Carolina. I don't think there's really that many out there. We're still talking about the number six team overall in DVOA. And for all the shakiness that you mentioned recently, they're the number four team in weighted DVOA. So number nine offense, number two defense. I think they're a really good team and a legit, you know, have a legit shot at winning the NFC. So, yeah, I'm picking Carolina in this. 10.5 points sounds about right. They know what's on the line. And we're talking about a team that's 14-1. You can't fluke your way to that. So, I think the Panthers are really good. And I think the Buccaneers are average on their best day. So I've got the Panthers winning.
Yeah, I don't need to add much to that. I agree. I took Carolina moving down the line. We got New England at Miami. Kind of similar situation to Carolina. If New England wins, they clinch the number one seed. If they lose, things kind of get hairy in the NFC or in the AFC in terms of seeding. I don't know. I mean, I have no more preface other than Miami kind of fucking sucks right now. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, they suck super hard. Yeah, I think the Patriots are pretty ripe to be beaten right now. I mean, we've seen it. Would they start off 9-0?
Sounds right. It might have been 10. Way, I can't remember.
Yeah, they're either at or barely above 500 for the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still a very good team, and I think that a decent team would have a really legit shot at beating them this week. But the Dolphins are just so bad. I mean, they've fallen all the way to 30th in DVOA and 31st in weighted DVOA.
Yeah.
The 49ers are considered to be playing better than them, according to that formula. So, yeah, I just – They know what's on the line. New England will handle their business. There's no surprises from Miami. I think New England's going to have a really tough go of it in the playoffs. They're definitely going to be grateful for their bye because they are so injured. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, I think and stomps them.
Yep, I agree. I have zero faith in Miami. Obviously, I feel like every time I say that, I have no faith in a team they do well that week. But I have, like, no faith in Miami after seeing what they did against third-string quarterback Colts last week.
Barely beat third-string quarterback Ravens the week before.
Right. They just seem punchless to me. Not to mention they are having some internal strife right now with Ryan Tannehill coming under fire from – some player's wife, which is always a fun thing that happens.
Oh, geez, I hadn't heard about that. Can you give me the synopsis?
Yeah, so Miko Grimes, who is Brent Grimes' wife, I think Brent Grimes, there's someone's Grimes. she has like a radio show or something, and she came out and talked about how Ryan Tannehill, like, what do you expect? He couldn't even come in and complete anything in the red zone at practice against the scout team that week, blah, blah, blah. Like, starts, like, talking about all this stuff that I'm sure, you know, her husband told her. And so now, you know, she basically all this stuff about how Ryan Tannehill sucks and all this. And so it's kind of
– coaches were just thrilled about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess Miko Grimes has a history of going out and saying crazy shit in the media, and it's been like an ongoing thing for the team in terms of trying to get her to not do that and all that. So anyway, I don't know. There's just kind of a lot of shit happening in Miami, not to mention that they've just been playing terribly. So,
right,
you know, even with New England really beat up right now and kind of struggle, like I just kind of see them limping into the playoffs right now. Not necessarily that they're a bad team, but they're just so banged up. You know, once they get Julian Edelman back, that'll help a lot, but they're still going to be missing quite a few guys. So we'll see what happens. I mean, with Tom Brady, honestly, anything. I don't expect them to struggle in this one, but Yeah, I picked New England. Easy pick on that one. Moving down the line, Cincinnati and Baltimore. Obviously, it's another AFC North battle, and Baltimore's kind of shown up. Ryan Mallett is their quarterback now, apparently. And obviously, they beat the Steelers last week at home, and that was a huge upset. I don't know what the Steelers what their deal was last week, but you know, obviously, Cincinnati looked pretty good on Monday Night Football, almost beat the Broncos in Denver. But a key turnover in overtime sealed the deal. What do you think of this game? I mean, obviously the favorite is clearly the Bengals, but do you think Baltimore has a chance of knocking them off?
Yeah, I think Baltimore's got a really good chance. I mean, it's funny because John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl and has multiple double-digit win seasons and all of that. And this year might be his best coaching job. I mean, they've only lost by more than 8 points, what is it, twice this season? They're 5-10, but man, it is a brutal 5-10. And it is with right now in terms of like an active roster. Kenny and I were debating this on his podcast with Rob Satan yesterday. That might be the worst active roster in the NFL, and they are competitive as hell.
Yeah.
They're number one in special teams. People don't realize, I mean, none of us really give special teams the credit that they deserve, but they've got a hell of a kicker in Justin Tucker. And then are you aware of the whole Sam Koch punting revolution?
Yeah, I've heard about it a little bit. He has like a whole like golf bag worth of punts.
Yeah, he can basically throw like 9 different pitches. And Antonio Brown was saying how hard it is to get a return against him because he's like, my cue is a returner is to see which way the punter's shoulders angle because that's where the kick's going.
Right.
And he can kick it sideline to sideline no matter what direction his shoulders are facing. And he can like make the ball do an S in the air and he'll throw one with backs basically as a change
up. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, it is. It's totally awesome. And so like he's a good punter. He's got a good, you know, average yards per punt, but it's not amazing. But his net average is tops in the league every year because no one can get a return on him. Because he's basically got 53 yards of width to aim for, and he can just fuck with returners' minds. So anyway, I just want to point out they're number one special teams team in the NFL and how important that is. And like Sam Koch is changing the game at punter, which is kind of cool.
I was talking to my dad about that actually because he had sent me an article about that and because we were talking about it during the Seahawks game when they played Baltimore. Like there were a couple punts where Tyler Lockett looked like he really should have gotten under it and caught it and said he let it bounce. And we were like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, but then we look it up and it's like, oh, it's because odds are Pete Carroll probably told him just let those go because it's so, like you said, it's like so hard to catch them, hard to it's like catching a knuckleball, you know?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, that's definitely an interesting aspect of Baltimore. It's one of the interesting things to watch for them this year, obviously. The other thing I was looking at, I'm watching some film on Eric Berry this week, and they were playing the Ravens a couple weeks ago, so I was watching them. Kamar Aiken is really good.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
Like straight up beating combo coverages and stuff.
And he's really, really good on the sideline. Like he's making these spectacular like leaping catches on the sideline. I want to say he had one or two really pretty impressive catches against the Seahawks too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's another like thing to watch in this game. At the end of the day, did you pick Cincinnati though?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, so did I, but and again, it's going to be an interesting one. Those divisional games are always interesting since he's obviously playing with the backup quarterback. I was actually pretty impressed with AJ McCarron though in this last game. For considering, you know, he's a second year guy and he has very, very little experience. He looked very confident out there.
Well, yeah, his dad is Philip Rivers. So he knows exactly what to expect. He's been around it his whole life. You know, he was ball boy for the Chargers way back. And
That's actually not true, but
yeah, but look at him side by side and
yeah, no, he definitely has like the petulant look to him, if you will.
Yeah, totally.
The petulant Rivers look.
Totally.
Anyway, but yeah, so Alec McCarron, that should be interesting to see what happens.
Moxie.
Moxie. He's got that Southern Moxie, that Alabama Moxie.
Yeah. Well, Danny and I were talking. We watched the Monday night game together, and we were talking about Danny. You were telling me you like AJ McCarron a lot because he seems very confident. And I was thinking, I was like, what has happened in AJ McCarron's life that would give him any reason not to be the most confident motherfucker in the room?
Right.
Like, he's basically been the king of an entire state for 4 years, winning national championships. And, you know, there's nothing bigger than being the quarterback of Alabama football. He's right. Married to Miss Alabama.
Yep.
Like, I mean, yeah. So there's no reason for him not to be confident. And right. Honestly, one of the things I was telling Danny on Monday is that I don't think there is a single better position in the NFL for a quarterback, a young quarterback to fall into than what he's got in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, and look at your OC. You're learning under one of the great OCs in the NFL right now. There is a chance that you could end up being the starter with Andy Dalton still kind of not necessarily. I mean, after the season, it might be a little different, but you know, Andy Dalton still hadn't completely entrenched himself there. And so I don't know. There, yeah, it's in terms of situations to land in, I think it was definitely a really good one, especially since you probably – what was he, a third rounder or second rounder? You probably don't want to throw a guy into the fire immediately if you can't – like if you can avoid it. So,
was he drafted that high?
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember. He wasn't a first rounder is my main point. Let's see here. I'm looking it up right now. Maybe fourth, fifth. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds more right.
That's kind of. I mean, that's pretty impressive considering he was a fifth rounder. How he's played.
Yep. Totally.
You know, maybe he just dropped because of his atrociously terrible tattoos.
Yeah.
But whatever. So anyways, I picked Cincinnati in that one too. So far we've agreed on all four games. Moving on to Atlanta and New Orleans in Atlanta. This is a game actually that I had a hard time picking. You know, obviously Atlanta's coming off their win against the Panthers. I wouldn't necessarily read a whole lot or too much into that, you know, necessarily. I think New Orleans has played pretty well lately too. I'll be interested to hear who you picked in this game.
This is a really tough one for me because I still think both teams are really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons are 8-7, but they're 24th in DVOA and 27th in weighted DVOA. It's crazy. They just beat a 14-0 team and are 27th in weighted DVOA. Just to give you an idea of just how bad this team is, which is crazy because there's no excuse for it. They're, you know, oozing talent. So, their win last week doesn't change much for me in terms of who I see them as.
Right.
But they're playing the Saints. And the Saints are pretty bad, too. In fact, they will finish as the worst DVOA defense in history at a 27.2, which is just – terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just so bad. And so Atlanta's good enough to score against that, but obviously the Saints can score on anyone too. So I'm just reverting to bad teams going with the home team. And I took the Falcons.
I did too. The way that Drew Brees is playing, you know, obviously we talked about this last week. He was going in there with a torn plantar fascia or whatever, and he just balled out last week anyway. So that
made me think, I know. I could not believe how well he played.
Yeah. Dude, I love Drew Brees. He's like, I mean, how could anyone not love Drew Brees? Honestly, he's like just such a cool quarterback. I mean, he has so many records. He's like 6 foot tall. He's still just an amazing pocket passer. He's got one of the deadliest deep arms in the NFL. He had like a 71-yard touchdown to Brandon Cooks. That was like a laser. I mean, obviously it didn't fly 71 yards, but he threw that thing on a rope like 50 yards.
And he throws off of his tiptoes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so nuts. Like, you look at him, and on the field, he just kind of looks like, you know, like someone's little brother out there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, his training regimen is crazy. I remember reading an article on, like, some of the drills his trainer has him do, and I won't spend too much time on it, but there's one that I'll always remember where he hangs upside down by his ankles and his trainer says go and throws a tennis ball up in the air and throws a card like a out of a deck of cards. And Drew Brees has to do a sit up, catch the ball, and say what the card is.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that crazy?
That's cool. I like
that. And so, like, just what he's training his body to be able to do and to make quick read and react decisions while his body's being stressed out. I just thought that was really, really interesting. And obviously someone that's super dedicated to not falling off. Right. And he hasn't. His team has fallen off around him, but he has stayed really, really good. So I hate picking – I really want to pick Drew Brees because I like him more than I like the Falcons, but –
Can we make a separate column that says you just picked Drew Brees?
Yeah. I'm picking Drew Brees to win, but the Saints to lose.
Right. No, I picked Atlanta too. This is one of those games where, like you said, it's like two bad teams. You pick the home team. Plus, I mean, I just can't get over the Saints defense. Really, I just, you know, obviously I love their offense. I love Drew Brees, and I think that they'll probably put up some points in this game, but with Atlanta and with, you know, they're relatively healthy. They got Devontae back, I think, and or at least they still have him is what I mean. And then Julio Jones is just going off still. It just seems like they'll have some trouble. New Orleans will have some trouble keeping up in this one, but we'll see. The over-under is 52.5, which I think is one of the highest I've seen this year.
Yeah, I think 53, maybe 53.5.
Yeah.
Years, this is right there with it.
Yep. So anyhow, that'll be a fun one. Shoot them out or shoot them up or whatever. But I picked Atlanta too. So far, still no differences. This one, Jacksonville at Houston. Houston is favored by 6.5. Their quarterback Brian Hoyer is going to play this week, I believe.
I'm looking at that right now because if Hoyer is playing, I'm taking the Texans. If not, I'm taking Jacksonville.
Hoyer can't say that he's going to be back.
Yep, I'm looking at it now. So if he's playing, I'm picking them. I think this is actually a pretty interesting game just because I think Jacksonville is kind of a fascinating team. I thought that you and I both talked early in the season how, yeah, they had a long way to go and people underestimate just how bad that roster was when Gus Bradley took over. But you still can't just win 3 games every year.
Right.
Got to make progress. And they have. And, you know, you look at their record and it's 5-10 and you're like, okay, that's not much progress. They'll probably finish at 5-11. But it's a 5-11. They're kind of like the Saints, you know, where it's like they'll bite you if you let them. Like, you can score a lot of points on them, but you have to score a lot of points on them.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm picking the Texans because they're better and Hoyer's
Yeah, I picked the Texans too. And I mean, I don't know. This another one that was, you know, last week I picked against the Texans, I think, or the week before when they played Tennessee, and that was really stupid of me. Actually, it was last week. And
it wasn't stupid. They were favored by 4.5.
In retrospect, it felt really stupid because they absolutely dominated that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so Gus Bradley did get confirmed or whatever by the ownership that he's going to have another year there. But they'll be motivated this week in terms of the Jaguars. But I don't know. I'm still kind of just going with the defense on Houston. Like, I don't know. I don't have a real strong opinion on this game, to be totally honest. But I went with the home team and the better defense, and we'll see what happens. Moving down the line, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Johnny Manziel rushed for over 100 yards last week. He's kind of looking like a fun quarterback. He might not play though. He has a concussion for some reason. So my guess is that it's going to be some backup in Cleveland. And so that points to Pittsburgh probably dominating this game. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think Pittsburgh's playing for their life too. And, I still think that they're a really good team. We get another
pop up there.
So I was looking, trying to figure out what the Colts quarterback situation was.
And Andrew Luck is definitely out.
Yeah.
Shut down. Wondering
who it is after. So anyway, sorry about the pop up. Let's see here. So yeah, I mean, you know how much I like Pittsburgh. I'm just so impressed by them this year. For the most part, I thought that win against Denver, they had that massive comeback against the best defense in the NFL, was like one of the most impressive wins an NFL team has had this year. So I'm picking them. I feel pretty good about it. They're the number seven. It's funny because, you know, they may very well finish in the top five or six in DVOA and miss the playoffs.
Yep.
They're seventh overall right now. They're the number one offense by DVOA, which, considering that Ben Roethlisberger missed 4.5 games, that's pretty amazing.
Yep.
And they haven't had Le'Veon Bell all season and didn't have Martavis Bryant for 5 games. I mean, this is really an impressive group, and it's a shame they won't make the playoffs likely. But I do think they win this one, and I think they're going to look really good doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't overthink one. I picked Pittsburgh, too. It's funny because I think, going back to the beginning of the year, I think I might have picked Pittsburgh to win the AFC, which is obviously a little...
Yeah, I'm right with you. I thought they would.
But they really shit the bed last week losing to the Ravens. That really screwed them over.
Yep.
Anyway, I picked Pittsburgh. Moving down the line, Oakland at Kansas City. Obviously, Oakland is eliminated from the playoffs, but they're kind of one of those teams that can cause trouble for people. Right now, Kansas City did get they are clinched, but their seating's still kind of up in the air. What do you think of this game?
Well, the Raiders are kind of one of those teams where it's like, you almost never see them as the favorite just because we're so inclined to think of them as being really bad. But every week they're the most tempting upset pick for me.
Yeah.
Because I think they're good enough to beat most teams, you know, when everything's clicking. But no one's playing better football than Kansas City Chiefs right now. I mean, they're at 1-5, man. To win 9 straight games, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
No one had ever done 8 games in a row after a 5-game losing streak, so I'm just in awe of what they've got going on. And if this game was in Oakland, I'd be tempted. But I'm taking the chalk on this one. I just think the Chiefs are too good. I think they believe in themselves too much right now. I would have a hard time really picking any of their playoff opponents to beat Kansas City at this point. So, yeah, feel pretty good about the Chiefs.
Same here. Yeah, the Chiefs, a lot of the discussion this week and recently has been about the Chiefs have had a less than daunting schedule over the last 9 weeks. And so, you know, they're beating a lot of lesser teams. But
yeah, but that gets overplayed, man. I mean, you say the same thing about the Seahawks. You can say the same thing about the Panthers. You say the same thing about Cardinal. I mean, there's not that many really good teams in the NFL this year. So you're just going to go stretches without playing elite teams. So what are you supposed to do? Not beat them? Like, I don't know. I hear that a lot as, oh, they haven't really been playing anyone. Who cares? Everyone in the NFL can beat you. You're winning every week.
Right. And it's like, I mean, I think just like in terms of resumes or whatever, it's not like there's any team right now that has like a really, like a much significantly better, like, resume in terms of like they've beaten like 5 of the best teams in the NFL. Like, no one really has, I don't think.
No one does that. No one ever like sweeps the top 4 in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, that's a consideration, but I really like Kansas City, and they're playing without Justin Houston right now, Tama Hali. What's that?
Why do you hate the Chiefs?
I put them at number 3, actually, in my power rankings this week.
That seems like a good spot for them.
Probably ruffled some feathers if I read the comments, but I don't. But I'm guessing it did. Nonetheless.
A bunch of people screaming into the void.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. I can imagine. I didn't get any emails, surprisingly. But
I'm sure those emails do so much to change your mind.
Oh, yeah. No, but I picked Kansas City too. I like Kansas City a lot. So, you know, it would surprise me if they lost this game, but I think with a divisional matchup, anything can kind of happen. And Oakland is one of the teams that can give people trouble. But man, when you watch Kansas City, because like I said, I've been watching Eric Berry, they have so many good defensive backs right now. They've got Sean Smith, Marcus Peters, who's a Pro Bowler in his rookie year. They've got Eric Berry, Tyvon Branch, Ron Parker. I want to say they have a couple other pretty impressive guys too. Man, they've just got so much depth at defensive back. They're like the Seahawks. And, I mean, of course, it's the same, you know, they're their GM comes from the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson tree and knows John Schneider really well. So it makes sense. They both have really, really good secondaries. And anyway, so yeah, that'll be interesting this week against Derek Carr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. They're number four against the pass in by DVOA. They're number two weighted defense in the NFL. Just showing how well they're playing recently. And I'm thinking about it right now, and they're in that conversation for best secondary in the NFL. They don't get a ton of fanfare, but I would put them, based on how they're playing this year, I'd put them ahead of Seattle and maybe – as good or better than Carolina. And I'd say maybe Denver and Arizona are the only two secondaries that I feel comfortable saying are better than Kansas City's. Like, they're really, really good.
Yep. So anyways, I long story short, I picked Kansas City on this one. Moving down the line, we got Tennessee at Indianapolis. Obviously, Andrew Luck was shut down earlier today in terms of the season. Just a shitty season for the Colts in general in terms of injuries and everything. Even when Andrew Luck was in there, he was not playing well. We'll see how much that had to do with, you know, being banged up a lot. I think he was dealing with several different injuries all year. So we'll see how he bounces back next year. But in the meantime, who's going to be starting for them? Is Chuck Whitehurst getting the start? Or he went to the IR.
They may not make the decision until Sunday morning.
Did I hear wrong that Charlie Whitehurst went to the injured reserve?
I hadn't heard.
I'm Googling it as we speak. But regardless, I don't know who the hell is going to play quarterback for. He was placed on the IR 2 days ago. So it's going to be someone random, either Hasselbeck or – I'm guessing they'll play – this is probably something we should know, I'm guessing. But whoever they're playing is going to be some rando. But they're playing Tennessee, who is also not without – or they're also without their franchise quarterback. They've got Mariota. They shut him down as well. So you're going to see Mettenberger, who has not been impressive at all. This is two crappy teams. What did you pick here?
I didn't want to pick this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – it's such a lame game. Took the Colts because they're at home and the Titans are really, really bad. I mean, this is – this is the number 30 offense versus the number 31 offense. And the Colts defense has actually been pretty good. And Frank Gore looked great last week. So I'm taking the Colts, but only because they're playing the Titans.
Is Ryan Lindley or Josh Freeman going to start this game?
yeah, we might see that.
Oh, boy.
And that's just it. It's like I want so badly to pick against the Colts in this one just because there's nothing to them, but they're playing the Titans, who might be the worst team in the NFL. So
yeah. I mean, I picked this game on Tuesday or yesterday, I guess. And I kind of just went with the worst of, or the better, or the home team. And again, for two bad teams, picked the home team. I kind of just went with that. How about Indianapolis showed some guts last week? Considering all this stuff that they've had, like injury-wise. It's crazy.
They're going to finish at 8-8. They'll be, I mean, you know, one of the worst 8-8 teams of all time. And, yes, the injury to Andrew Luck does matter and all of that. But this is a really bad team that's going to finish 500.
Yeah. So, anyway, I went with Indianapolis. And that game, I don't know. Do we really need to talk about it all that much? Yep. The worst game on the docket. Washington at Dallas. Dez Bryant went to the IR this week. Or earlier today, I think. Washington's been playing lights out. I went with Washington, didn't really think much about it. Dallas is actually favored, and we've talked about this for a while. It's just people love Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I guess Dallas still moves the money meter more than any other team, at least as far as I understand it, which makes sense. The other thing that I'm kind of seeing when I look at this is that Washington is locked in at the 4 seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
We may not see their starters all game long.
That's true.
That's more of what I saw when I look at Dallas being the favorite. But without Dez Bryant, not that he's been doing a ton, but at least he was an option that would draw an extra defender. Without that, I don't know how Dallas is going to do it. We're talking about the worst offense in the NFL, 19th on defense. I want to pick them. Washington, I think, is going to be open to losing this game, after the first half. I just don't think Dallas has the firepower for it. So I'm taking Washington as well.
Yeah. And, I mean, as with many things, you don't really know how Jay Gruden is going to run this thing or is going to play it, because you always have the worry that if you rest guys or whatever in week 17, that it's going to affect how they play the next week and blah, blah, blah. You open yourself up to criticism either way. But I have the feeling that they'll play their starters at least for a significant amount of it, just kind of keep them, in the right mindset. But regardless, I picked Washington. I do think that Dallas has been pretty competitive, all things considered. They're, 4-10 or 4-11 or whatever they are. I still think they've managed to compete in most of their games or all their games. And so
definitely, I think that Jason Garrett has his team playing really tough and not giving in, especially with just all of the bullshit they've dealt with this year.
Yeah.
I think they'll keep this one close. I do.
Yeah. But I went with Washington too.
Yeah.
I just think Washington's a better team, and assuming they don't completely rest all their starters all game, I feel pretty confident about that pick, but we'll see what happens. Chicago and Detroit. This is one of those games I think that might be kind of hard to pick. Right now, actually, Chicago is favored, which is surprising to me.
Doesn't it seem like Detroit is like a full step better?
Yeah, and they've been really pretty good since their bye week blow up, like where they blew up the whole team.
Yeah.
And Jim Bob Cooter kind of took over and all that. And
good old Cooter.
They've actually been really good, or relatively good, I guess.
But here's the thing. I've just forgotten about Chicago since they got eliminated. But Detroit's the number 12 team in weighted DVOA, and Chicago's number 13.
Are they?
So in terms of how they're playing overall, at least according to the highly predictive metric, they're basically neck and neck. 4.2 versus 3.6. I mean, that's an indiscernible margin by DVOA standards. And they're 16th and 18th overall, respectively. So there really isn't a huge difference between these two teams overall. And with Chicago being the home team, I don't know. I still look at the Detroit roster and I see a playoff caliber roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that with Chicago, which is why I'm picking Detroit. But Chicago is favored by one, and this is the game I'm least certain about. So if my opinion on this game isn't swinging your vote at home, I don't blame you. I just – my gut says Detroit is a better overall team that's playing better.
The one thing that kind of factors in – to me, okay, first of all, I picked Detroit before this happened, and I just like Detroit more right now. I don't – I've talked about Chicago in the past. I wrote an article on them earlier in the season about how they're doing some really cool things on offense. But they lost Martellus Bennett to the IR. They just put Alshon Jeffrey on IR. So really they're playing with, like, nobody on offense right now.
Yeah, I don't think that line will stay in favor of Chicago.
Yeah. So while I like Chicago generally in terms of their potential the next couple of years, if they kind of start – if they continue to go in the direction they're going, I think they could kind of bounce back and be good. But I like Detroit a lot more in this game. I just think that Jim Bob Cooter has Matt Stafford kind of playing in rhythm and doing what, whatever he's done has Matt Stafford feeling confident and comfortable in that offense. And that's huge. They've still got Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson. Assuming he plays this week, I guess. I'm not sure if he will or not. He's kind of he's kind of the type of guy that they might just rest or whatever. But
yeah. Amir Abdullah is rounding into shape recently too.
Amir Abdullah, yep. So I don't know. I just like Detroit more in this game, and that's who I picked. Have we? So looking down the line, we still don't have any picks different this week. But that's fine.
Not yet.
So let's see, New York and Philly. Obviously, Chip Kelly got fired. That was the big news yesterday. both you and I lost a bet to our friend Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who bet us that if the Eagles lost out of the playoffs, they would fire Chip Kelly. I did not think it was going to happen. I thought they gave him full control. You know, he's 26-21 over the three seasons that he's been in Philly. Obviously, he made some enormous moves during this past offseason. And I think when you're kind of that bold, if it doesn't really work, then you're putting yourself at risk. And that's kind of annoying to me, because that, like, makes coaches feel like they can't do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, so on one hand, I think what Chip was doing was kind of refreshing. But on the other hand, it was his death knell, because, you know, it didn't work right away. And maybe it would have worked in the long term, but it did not work right away, and he didn't have time to let it play out. So all that said, you know, obviously they're going to be playing with an interim head coach this week. The Giants are out of it too, obviously. I guess Beckham will be back this week. Is he back this week?
Beckham should be back this week, yeah.
So what do you think of this game?
It's always weird, you know. You see, especially when it's a coach that has fallen out of favor with his players, a lot of times you see a sort of inspirational thing at like the end of the season under the interim that leads to a bad hire, you know, the next season. Right. I don't think that'll happen in Philly. I don't think the fans will allow just one inspirational victory to carry them. I just don't think they have the talent. You know, they shipped off two the move that doesn't get talked about, people talk about Bradford and DeMarco Murray and Maxwell as moves that didn't work out. And those are all moves that really didn't work out. And the type of thing that makes me think that it wasn't going to work for Chip if he in Philly, no matter how long they let him go. He was misevaluating players' abilities to fit in his system. The ones people aren't talking about is they got rid of their two best offensive linemen, and the people they replaced them with have been really poor. And you have to block in a very specific fashion to make a Chip Kelly offense work, and they haven't been able to do that. So, they might be inspired. Their defense, they are a big play defense. That's how they've won, stolen a few games this year, special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns. I mean, crying out loud, they beat the Patriots in New England with three non-offensive touchdowns. So they can do it, and the Giants are the kind of team that'll let you do that. But I still think that they are a better team overall. I think Odell Beckham's the most game-changing player in that game. And he's probably the difference between a win and a loss for the Giants. So with him back – and just the Giants' sense of at least who they are, right? Like, they have an identity. Philadelphia clearly does not. It's in New York. They'll be looking to finish strong. I'm taking the Giants. I don't blame anyone for taking the Eagles. Weird stuff happens under interim coaches. But I think the safe play is with the Giants.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. I'm just on Twitter right now. Marshawn Lynch just retweeted. He just retweeted a picture of a woman wearing his jersey and nothing else. It's just like complete nudity from the waist down.
Oh my God.
Marshawn Lynch is the best.
My wife is sitting next to me and now she wants to see this. So give me a second.
Go to Sean Lynch. It's someone named Olivia Austin. I guess she's like some sort of Instagram model or something. Anyway.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So, I picked New York also. And now I can't concentrate. Let's go to Minnesota at Green Bay. Obviously, this is the big game. This is the Sunday night game. The winner is the NFC North champion, has a lot to do with what happens with the Seahawks if they lose or win or whatever. Who do you think is going to end up winning this game?
Sorry, showing the wife the pick.
You see it?
That is just...
Is that legal on Twitter?
Twitter doesn't really shut down nudity, no.
Oh, that's hilarious. You okay with the back but not the front?
I'm good with.
All right.
No
So we're getting partial approval from my wife right now on that pick.
Oh my gosh.
Call it the Chinese. Okay. So that's who I married. All right. What game?
Green Bay Vikings. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Oh, yeah. It's the most interesting game from a playoff perspective in the league this week. I'm glad it's the one they chose for Sunday night. It's weird because the Packers are a better team than the Vikings, but the Vikings are playing way better than the Packers. Ever since Minnesota got their butts whooped by Seattle, they've been really good. They're the number 9 team in weighted DVOA at 14.4, which is actually a really good number. And Green Bay is negative 2.1, which puts them in 18th overall. So we're seeing a huge difference in how they're playing right now. But Green Bay is still 10th overall. Minnesota is 11th overall. It's still Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. No quarterback in history has ever been better in their home stadium than Aaron Rodgers. I still lean that way. Now, Minnesota is better than I've been giving them credit for all season. I've disparaged them a lot. I've picked them a lot this year, but always with the caveat that I don't really think they're that good. And I still don't think they're that good, but they're definitely a playoff caliber team and are certainly capable of going in to Green Bay and winning. It's just that I do think Green Bay is better, and they're at home, and they're playing for a division title. And, Lambeau Field is a clink-level home field advantage. This is a really big game. They need to reassert themselves. I don't think they're as bad as Arizona made them look. So I am taking the Packers. I won't be surprised if Minnesota wins. And obviously we'll all be watching this keenly as Seattle will almost certainly play the winner of this game. Now, Danny, you and I were talking last night on the Scar Thoughts podcast. I should also post around the same time this one does. We were trying to rank the teams that we'd rather see Seahawks play, and I think that the Seahawks match up best against Minnesota, and they've all obviously shown they can win in Minnesota and win big. So I will be cheering for Minnesota because that's who I want to see Seattle go play. But I do think Green Bay wins just because they're better overall. I still believe that, and I do think they're much better at home.
Yeah, and that's why I picked Green Bay too. I just think they're, the Lambeau Field thing is the big factor here. And the Aaron Rodgers thing is still huge. And I think Minnesota has some injuries right now on their defensive line that could have a big impact. Linval Joseph, I don't think, practiced today. And one of the main issues with Green Bay this year, or lately anyway, has been Aaron Rodgers has been sacked a ton. It's like the Seahawks of the early part of the season where he just is getting sacked all the time. So that's a huge factor, whether Minnesota can get after him or not this week. And so it'll be interesting to watch their injury report as the week goes on. But at the end of the day, I still, Green Bay's been struggling, but I still like them at home here. So I picked Green Bay.
You're down by one game to me, Danny. Are we going to disagree at all? Are you going to have a shot at this?
I don't think so. My guess is no. Looking at the rest of the thing, it looks like we're going to agree on all these. And that's just not my style to go try and pick a wild one, Jackson.
I know, me neither. I'm going back through and looking and seeing, okay, what can I talk myself out of to give him a shot here?
Well, you could always change your Houston pick.
Yeah, that one and the Bears Lions game I might think about.
Feel free, man. Do what you want to do. It's your
No. My goal here is to win the folks at home money, and I need to be honest with myself about what teams I think will do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're kind of running a little long, so let's just go straight through these last couple. San Diego and Denver. I think you can probably guess which one we're going to do there. Denver's obviously the better team. They're probably, playing a lot better. Obviously, they're playing a lot better right now. Even with Brock Osweiler, who I think took kind of a step forward this last week. Made some really, really clutch throws.
Really, really big time throws.
So, I like Denver in that game a lot. Obviously, you picked them too. St. Louis and San Francisco. It's
in the over-under on this game?
What's that?
You see the over-under on this game?
Oh, God. That's going to be another.
Is that the lowest one of the season?
I can't remember a lower one. It's 37.5.
With St. Louis is a 3.5-point favorite. So what we're talking about right now is, like, they're basically seeing this as a 20-17 game, which seems like a reasonable NFL score, but that is an unreasonably low over-under.
Yeah, exactly. Who'd you have in this one?
St. Louis. Man, it just – my view of who St. Louis is as a team is always thrown off so much coming off a game against Seattle. And so they obviously looked – and we chopped up that game a lot on – I just think that was a matchup win for them, and a lot of things had to bounce their way in order to make the domination and the defensive line even matter. So
right. Yeah.
I don't think that they're very good, but the 49ers are still probably the worst team in the NFL. And I took the Rams, which is crazy. The Rams are going to finish 8-8, which I mean, yeah, it's just the Jeff Fisher mantra. He will regress you to the mean, no matter how good or bad you are. He's going to what's that?
You know the old expression? I can't remember who it was attributed to. There's some old running back who was like, if you need 2 yards, I'll get you 3. If you need 4 yards, I'll get you 3.
That's Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I picked St. Louis too. So it's coming down to the last game, the Seahawks game, in fact. We talked about it a little bit, actually. You know, we actually normally almost never talk about our picks before we have this show. But I think we both just kind of – we did the Cigar Thoughts podcast yesterday, and so we were kind of talking about the game. I actually picked Arizona to win on Sunday. I just think Seattle's too beat up right now. Arizona still has a lot to play for in terms of the first seed. They're just really, really good right now. So I picked Arizona. Who did you pick in that game?
I'm going to preface this by saying I think the Cardinals are the best team in the NFL. And, Danny, I think right now you agree with me. Am I off in saying that?
No, I think I would agree.
There's not a team in the NFL I would pick to win in Arizona with Arizona giving it their best shot. There's not one. Not the Patriots, not the Seahawks, not anybody. Now, when the Panthers were playing in the morning against a not very good team at home, it was looking like by kickoff the Cardinals – would be locked into the number 2 seed, and then maybe they sit guys at halftime. And I would actually probably pick the Seahawks under those circumstances. But they flexed the Panthers game to the afternoon, which means the Cardinals are going to be going at this one full bore. Plus, I think it just matters a lot to Bruce Arians and that team to establish dominance in that division.
Yeah.
I don't think just winning and coasting is enough. Like, they're – I know we all hate the Cardinals and we all hate Bruce Arians and yada, yada, and yada, whatever, man. Bruce Arians is the dude I would want to play for. And if I'm a fan, Bruce Arians is a coach I'd be stoked about. He tries to hit home runs every time. And there are so many home run hitters on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. They're down to their third string running back, and he's the best of them.
Yep.
Like, they had a reclamation project with a bullet in his shoulder leading the NFL in rushing. And then he goes down, and then their, you know, superstar college running back of the future comes in, he goes down. So now they've got their other running back of the future in, scoring 40 fantasy points a game. Their defense is balling out even without Tyrann Mathieu. They made the Packers look like the Titans. So, I mean, I'm not picking anybody to beat the Cardinals right now. Now, that said, I think the Seahawks keep it within a score. Last I saw, the line was 6.5. Is it still 6.5? Yeah. So I do think Seattle covers that. And I think it'll come down to the last drive, but I am taking the Cardinals.
Yeah, and I think Seattle can win. And I'll put it that way. I think they can win. I think they're going to be competitive. And it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if they do win.
Nope, me neither.
But in terms of just making picks, I think, to me, that's just the smart pick right now.
I'll put it this way. Healthy Cam Chancellor, healthy Marshawn Lynch, I think it's really – I'm probably 51-49 Arizona.
Right.
I'm really – the fact that – Chancellor still doesn't look on track to be back, and they don't know what they have with Lynch. I'm thinking it's more like 60-40.
Plus Bennett might not play.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Looks like Okung will be back, which should help.
Derek Sweezy has a concussion, apparently. man, they're just beat up right now. So I don't know. Obviously, Arizona is missing Tyrann Mathieu, so that's a factor. But I don't know. I mean, I think they can win, but in this one, I'm playing it safe and picking Arizona. Do you have any against the spread picks for us today?
Yeah, I just told you one. I think the Seahawks cover the 6.5. Yeah, there's a few others that kind of stand out to me. Detroit's a natural cover at Chicago. Right now, they're a 1-point deficit. Again, get in on that money while you can, because I think that line's going to shift.
Yeah.
Washington at Dallas, I think, is a natural cover, with Dallas being favored by 3. And the other one that I've got is sorry, where did it go? I want to make sure I get the line right. Where were we? Oh, I think Pittsburgh actually covers the 10 at Cleveland. I wanted to make sure I got that line right.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll be close. I think you're going to see the best Pittsburgh Steelers this week after last week as they try and get into the playoffs. So anyway, those are mine for the week. And against the spread, I stopped keeping track about halfway through, but if you've been betting against the spread with my picks, I know that we're a number of games over 500 on that. So hopefully that has won you some money as well.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, that's it kind of for the season. Maybe we'll have another episode next week or the week after to kind of recap the season and everything.
No way, man. I'm retiring.
But, yeah, if you tuned in this year, we really appreciate it. Obviously, as always, if you have any comments or suggestions on how we can kind of improve it or change it, let us know in the comment section at Field Goals.
Mort it.
What did she say?
My wife would like more tits.
More tits. Okay. Well, we can work on that. It is a audio podcast, but maybe we can do something in Braille. I don't know.
How does Braille work in audio?
It totally works. Just let it go. I was just picturing, you know, in Men in Tights.
Yeah.
That still really doesn't work. And overall, a really dumb comment, but that was where my brain went.
Well, that's all for the season. We'll see you guys later.
Make sure you subscribe. I think, Jackson and I were talking about this, actually. We're probably going to start trying to post the Cigar Thoughts podcast on the same feed so you guys get stuff during the off season too. I think that's the plan right now, but we'll see. Not, we'll let you know. But otherwise, yeah, thanks for tuning in this year, and hopefully we helped you with your picks, and hopefully you enjoyed being in our ESPN Pick'em group, because that was a lot of fun. And obviously another shout-out to CW6, who is leading the group right now and in the 99.9 percentile nationwide, worldwide.
Our group has equated themselves really well this year. I mean, you look at the whole front page, the top, what is that, 50, and they're all, well, let's see. Yeah, top 37 are all in the top 30%. So anyway, our league has done really, really well. So I'm proud of you guys. We got a ton of people in the top 10%. Looks like 18 people in the top 10%. So that's a really impressive showing, and good work all you guys out there.
Definitely. All right. Well, for Jackson Bevins, this is Danny Kelly signing off, and I guess we'll talk to you guys next year.
Later.